Hello, this is Noelle, just a typical ADHDer. I just woke up, so if I sound strange, that could be why. It's possible there's a little extra noise as well, since it's the morning and there's slightly more activity outside. I live in a city, and it's quite quiet here, all things considered. But there still is noise, especially at night. Not in the way I would have expected, as in it's a city and everyone's going wild at night. It's more just that there are a few people outside. I can hear what they're saying because the rest is so quiet. And the other night I was woken up, for example, by this guy yelling in a very agitated way at somebody. And I got worried and looked out the window and they were grabbing this person and holding their face, and it looked like the person was crying, and I thought maybe they were trying to choke them. But I think that they were actually trying to comfort them. And I'm not sure what they were on, but I assume both of them were high out of their minds and having all sorts of revelations about humanity and telling each other to declare how glad they should be to be alive and to be human. So I'm glad that they came to that conclusion and that the person was simply trying to hold the other person's face and hug them. And I think the other person was crying because that's all they wanted for humanity, was to realize how wonderful they were and could be. However, they also looked cold and definitely woke me up. So luckily last night they were not there yelling about that. But I will still always remember the guy repeatedly yelling, "Say, holy fuck, I'm glad to be alive!" Anyway, this morning when I woke up, completely unrelated to that incident, I was remembering how much I loved to have theme movie nights, and I mean like two movies of a specific theme when I was younger, either as a young adult or as a 13 or 14 year old. I suppose my first of maybe two themed movie nights was Blood and Snow. I don't know if it was even intentional, but I watched Fargo and The Shining with one of my friends. Another night, I basically forced my siblings to have a Poisoners movie night, which comprised of The Young Poisoner's Handbook and The Minus Man, both fairly unknown movies. The Young Poisoner's Handbook is actually quite funny, very dark and well done, if disturbing, story based on a true story. It was made in 1995, and it follows this young man with a miserable life in England, I believe, who becomes fascinated with the chemistry of poisoning people, and he begins on his family and friends and tracks their symptoms, talks to them, asks them how they feel. And I don't think this is a huge spoiler to say he eventually gets caught, and a psychologist who has ideas of rehabilitation becomes attracted to the young man's intelligence. And that's all I'll say for now. I'll probably talk about this movie more later, so you can be sure to skip that episode if this sort of thing turns your stomach, or listen if you think it sounds interesting. Whereas The Minus Man actually is an American film, I think, that stars Owen Wilson. This was based on a novel and made in 1999. It follows another poisoner who supposedly poisons his victims painlessly and has a very different personality than the clinical fellow in The Young Poisoner's Handbook. He is very calm and relaxed and definitely mentally unstable. I mean, clearly the other fellow was as well, but this guy has hallucinations, possibly blacks out, or maybe it's a form of PTSD. I mean, I'm sure he has a form of PTSD. We don't know what from, but he imagines these policemen following him and that they're going to catch him. And he sort of describes himself as a gentle angel of death who draws people to him. And that's kind of an interesting description because he does come across as very harmless, especially in comparison to some of the more intense people around him. And other people do seem drawn to him, even though he doesn't seem like the most dynamic person out there. But now that I think about it, his voiceover, which tells us kind of what he's thinking, does demonstrate an egoism that would, of course, come with deciding you should be the arbiter of death and life. He seems to poison people randomly and almost out of a sense of trying to put them out of their misery, though it's definitely not what we would usually think of as a cause for euthanasia. It's like somebody being unsettled about their job or having strife with their husband or wife. And it's quite an eerie and dreamy story. You sort of float through it. It also has its sense of humor and this beautiful, unusual soundtrack. So if you're in the mood for kind of a calming but creepy movie, I might recommend that. It's definitely not as lugubrious or gruesome as The Young Poisoner's Handbook. But I also want to say, I find it hilarious that I was listening to an interview with the actor Bradley Cooper, who said that he also liked to have themed movie nights when he was in high school. And I think one of the nights he tried to have a Vietnam War movie night, and I have absolutely thought of the same thing when I was younger. I don't know if it's because we might be the same Enneagram type, which is a personality system that I find really fun. I'm the type 6, which is the loyal skeptic, and Bradley Cooper is as well, I'm pretty sure, just after listening to his description of trying to get his friends together to do this, though I'm probably more on the introverted side, he's more on the extroverted side. In short, the Enneagram is 9 different personality types, and it looks at your essential fears and desires. I guess that's why I like it, is because it's so kind of negative as opposed to a lot of the other personality types, which are more obvious to me and don't necessarily get to the heart of things and don't always leave as much room for variety of personality. So with the Enneagram, you could have this fundamental pattern of thinking and behavior, but it can manifest in very different ways. Obviously, no one or very few people are going to fall squarely into one box or another, and it's not scientifically proven like most personality types. I don't believe at all a lot of the spiritualistic stuff that people associate with it, especially since one person who helped spread the idea said that he made up a lot of that stuff so that it would get more credence. I assume it's just based on observation, and it's definitely very archetypal. Maybe that's why I like it, actually. It's kind of Jungian. But whatever the case, I don't remember which movies he was talking about. Maybe Apocalypse Now, Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, and The Deer Hunter, I'm assuming. Those are like the 4 big ones I can think of. But he said that when he tried to do it, I think everybody fell asleep. And I do remember one time when I went to a showing of Apocalypse Now that one of my professors did. And it was the extended version, the director's cut, which was great. You know, the original is great, too. But it's, I don't know, probably 4 hours long or something. And only I and one other girl came, and then the other girl fell asleep. And on that note, just a brief tangent, I remember watching Lawrence of Arabia in the theater in my school. My history professor was able to get the projection in this kind of small auditorium we had in college. And another long movie that at the end only I and this other film buff were there. Even the projectionist left. I don't think he was supposed to do that, but he did. So yeah, if I'm into it as a movie, I'm into it. But I definitely had my Vietnam War movie craze, which is quite disturbing now that I think about it. Neither of my parents were in the Vietnam War, even though they knew lots of people who were. I'm guessing that if I rewatched some of these movies, I would have a lot more problems with them now. I think Platoon maybe was the first of these sorts of movies I watched, and I found it to be quite powerful. My mom said that people she knew who had been in the war supposedly felt like that was the most realistic movie they'd seen about it. It's definitely symbolic, a sort of strange Oliver Stone movie as usual, where there's a good sergeant, so to speak, and a bad sergeant. And the good sergeant is, I guess, supposed to be almost a Christ-like, peace-loving figure, even though he's also at home in war and seemingly unbeatable. The bad sergeant is actually not over-the-top sadistic. He's very much a pragmatist who thinks you need to do what you need to do and be part of the system and the machine in order to survive and win, and that's your purpose. He has no sentimentality whatsoever. And he has tons of scars all over his face and body because he is also seemingly undefeatable. When the movie ended, I did get the feeling that you could never really go home once you'd been to war or through something like that. It was almost like that was another world. I don't remember Full Metal Jacket quite as well. That's a Stanley Kubrick film, a much funnier in certain ways than the others. It's quite interesting. Half of it involves training, which is very disturbing and telling. The training of recruits involves breaking everyone down, instilling them with, of course, toxic masculinity, sort of sexualizing the act of violence and creating a unit, whereas the second half is in Vietnam and has some really memorable and powerful moments, including, you know, bringing up questions of who you're actually fighting, who these terrifying enemies are, because some of them may very well just be children. There's also a character who is quite brutish and brutal, who is the type of person who is abusive and violent, but in the time of war, you would love to have him on your side. It might be hard to believe that this could be funny, but there's a lot to be taken from the irony and madness that is found in war. There are definitely strong messages about the capitalistic nature of the United States and its fight against what it believed to be evil communism. The Deer Hunter was a beautiful and kind of quiet film from what I remembered, but someone who watched it more recently said that it was extremely racist, and I think all of these movies have a lot of racism regarding the way it portrays Vietnamese people, mostly as victims and prostitutes and an unseen, unknown enemy. I think Apocalypse Now is actually my favorite, and when I first watched it, I didn't like it at all, especially the first half, because it was so stylistic and dramatic in certain ways. It's based on Joseph Conrad's The Heart of Darkness, which I read and liked in high school. Again, I'd probably have different views now, but it was fascinatingly written. And I loved Apocalypse Now as an adaptation of that. And the pacing is so strange and surreal. It gets increasingly bizarre, this long film, as these American soldiers go through Vietnam to rescue or retire an American soldier who has totally gone off the deep end, supposedly. But of course, the idea is, has he really gone crazy, or is he just epitomizing this war and American aggression and not sugarcoating it in any way? In fact, he's a general. But these characters travel from one place to another, and it gets increasingly bizarre and tense and unpredictable and disturbing, and to the point where it ends up being totally carnivalesque. And then for the last part, it slows down suddenly. Maybe the last half hour, when you finally meet Kurtz, it's just this place of dreamlike serenity. Apparently making the movie was a complete nightmare and is an interesting story in and of itself. Anyway, last time I forgot to mention that I recently created a Patreon. It is currently quite empty of any sort of content other than the bare minimum, but I will be working on that as time goes on, and I will link that down below. It's simply under Just a Typical ADHDer in Patreon, and I believe the URL is patreon.com/NoelleVivante, NoelleVivante, which is also my Twitter handle. Anyway, thanks for listening to these ramblings, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Goodbye!